I hope you could feel the vibration of the lingering cord. I hope that you can feel the vibration of all of us here loving all of you out there. For in truth, there is nothing that is separating us at all. This is a very strange time that we're in. And things are moving so fast that we are finding ourselves thinking on our feet more and better than we ever have before, I think. Last week, when we made the decision, well, 10 days ago, made the decision to not gather in this place, Kit did a masterful job of bringing the service to you, bringing the talk to you with the cooperation of these musicians, technicians, others that were gathered here, our wonderful producer that is putting all this together. Leah, thank you. And I am touched not only by the effort here to make things as normal as we can, but I'm touched by the effort of human beings around the world who are doing what they can to bring comfort and light and bring their gifts to others so that we are more connected as a human family. Last night, I was just going through Facebook, which I have not been on much in the last few years, just because there was too much going on Facebook. But now there's a lot of sweetness on Facebook, and it's kind of a nice place to go. And one of you lovely people out there, Mike Kemp, had posted the free concert that Rufus Wainwright is starting to bring. And there are many musicians that are starting to bring their music to the world free of charge just because we all need it right now. And so as I was preparing myself to go to sleep last night, I listened to Rufus, who has the sweetest voice, and it brought peace. It brought peace because he was a representation in that moment of the goodness that we are. I have to say, because sometimes I'm a little vain, I guess, and as a female who has a public platform, my appearance is very important to me. But I did something this week that you probably noticed already, that was a symbolic letting go of the way things were in a small and simple way. I no longer have fingernails that are, you know, fancy. No fancy, sparkly fingernails. And I got my head buzzed. And it's interesting to see what it looks like under there. And it was, to me, a letting go. It was like, these kind of personal services are not going to be available for a while. So I'm going to shed that which I no longer need. And hopefully that's what we're all doing. Hopefully what we're doing is discovering what we no longer need in our lives, what's really important to us and what really isn't. In my neighborhood, I've seen more and more people out walking with their dogs and their babies, and sometimes with masks, and always at a distance, which is responsible and necessary. But people are outside more. People are more courteous to each other. I'm amazed at the goodness of people that's coming forth, and if there's anything that is important to us right now, it's that we see each other and look out for each other, even if our seeing each other is online, even if our seeing each other is a telephone call. I had the luxury of a long conversation with one of my sisters yesterday, and it was delightful and loving and close and honest and real. And she and I have that connection anyway, but it was still just one of the best things. And both my children are home. And so we fortunately like each other. So being in our home together, kind of cooped up, is a good thing. And so we're laughing and playing games and playing with our pets, playing with our animals. We're listening differently. We're laughing more. Now, you might wonder why I'm talking about all of this right now when the title of my talk for today that was picked out a long time ago is From the Shadow to Unconditional Love. I'll tell you why I picked that. First of all, it's in our class that we're still going to have on Wednesday night. We'll have a Zoom class, and you'll have look online, and you'll find more information for that as we get closer. So it's from our class that we're doing right now on how to be an adult. But also because these times cause us to feel things a little differently. It might reveal to us things about ourselves that we don't necessarily want to see. We don't have as much noise to mask the judgments that we might have about others. So not only is there the shadow of this pandemic over us, there's the shadow that's in our own being. And if you don't feel like this emergent crisis that we're in right now is calling you to a higher place, I do suggest to you that you look a little deeper, because we have the luxury of time to be able to examine ourselves, to be able to listen to the noise that's been in our head for a long time that we might not have paid attention to before. We may see things in other people that we dislike. And when we do that, when we have a reaction to somebody else, it is our shadow revealing itself to us. When we see an attribute in another that we wish we had, that is also the shadow. We think of the shadow as a bad thing, when in truth, the shadow is a part of our being as much as is the light. The shadow is a way for us to be able to discover our own divinity, to live the life of the Christ being that is within each one of us. And so let me give you some examples of what the shadow might look like right now, because it's important for us to pay attention to everything. The negative shadow, and this is from David Riccio's book, How to Be an Adult. The negative shadow is composed of our own unacceptable and disowned defects that we strongly condemn in others. Oh my goodness, we do that. We may think that we're very holy and spiritual, that we never have those strong judgments about other people, but we do. What we are unconscious of in ourselves, we become empathetically conscious of in others. The positive shadow is composed of the good qualities hidden in us that we strongly admire or envy in others. We consciously respect in them what we inwardly disavow in ourselves. Emerson said, "In every work of genius, we can recognize our own rejected thoughts. They come back to us with a certain alienated mystery." So here are some things that we might be feeling right now. If we're strongly upset by somebody else's addictiveness, then we have but may not be owning our own steadfastness. If you're strongly upset by someone's anxiety, than you have but may not be using your own excitement. And we can turn that back upon ourselves. If we're feeling anxiety, then we can re-examine ourselves and find the excitement that might be underneath our anxiety and use it for something good. If we're strongly upset by someone's clinging, then we have but may not be using our own loyalty. You can begin to see how this works. You can begin to see how if you admire something in someone else that you don't think you have, then you are denying in yourself that which is beautiful and good, and that which you admire in others is also something you can admire in yourself and let it come forth. If you're strongly upset by someone's taking for granted, then you have but may not be using your own accepting. And so it goes on and on and on. If you're feeling self-pity, you might take a look at your ability to forgive yourself. And we'll be talking about this more in our Wednesday night class. I hope you'll join us. I hope that you will begin to take this opportunity, the time that we have right now, to see what drives you unconsciously and where the shadow is. We begin to heal the world by healing ourselves, my friends. And the world is in need of healing. The earth is in need of healing. I wrote earlier this week online that I'm a little embarrassed that our home was not as green as it could be. And so rather than using paper napkins and paper towels, we're using things that we can wash. We're ironing cloth napkins at our house. It's very meditative. And I suggest if you have an iron and an ironing board, that you iron something when you're anxious. Because if you are not lulled by the rhythm of ironing, you'll at least get bored and find something else to do. I'm just saying. This book that I read from this morning, The Meaning of Grace, is from the Lenten book that Unity published called Fasting and Feasting for this year. And I'd just like to share with you what the readings are for the rest of this week. This was written months and months ago. And so as we talk about denying something that we want to have power over us, that we no longer want to have power over us, and then affirming that which we do want to have in our lives, so goes the reading in the Lenten booklet this year. I fast from being rigid. I feast on resilience. That's from Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday, I fast from stress. I feast on serenity. Nice. Friday and Saturday, I fast from chaos. I feast on order. And as many wise people have said, turn off the news and organize your closet. My next project is my sock drawer. I'm not giving up socks, but I'm giving up some of them. I was thinking this morning in the shower, which is a good place for good spiritual thoughts. And I was wondering what Jesus might have said to people in those days if this were going on. Well, the people that Jesus was teaching back in those days were people that were under the rule of the Romans. And so they were oppressed. They were not living lives of independence. And so Jesus came to give them comfort. He came to affirm their gifts. He came to tell them that God is present everywhere, that God is Father and Mother and everywhere. He came to tell them that you have a life to live that is greater and stronger than you thought it was, that there is nothing that can be more powerful than God in your life. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that was his message. And so we look to what the Christ in us tells us today. Nothing is greater than God. Our fear is not greater than God. Love is greater than fear. There is nothing that can keep us from expressing our greatness and our goodness. We're instructed to do so. And so, in these days that we're living in right now, offer comfort where you can. Take comfort where you can. Listen to the people around you. As I wrote yesterday, smell some flowers. Spring is out there happening in spite of everything else going on. The hawks are out finding mates right now. At least that's what it sounds like. They're busy. We have an owl in our backyard. Pokes his little head out when we walk the dogs. And then he goes back in his little house. And there's a comfort to that. There was a comfort in driving through my neighborhood and seeing no cars. The quiet is sweet. And Jesus himself withdrew from the noise of the crowds and the demands of people who wanted to see him. He withdrew for the quiet. He withdrew for the connection. He withdrew in order to experience God and to make sure that his tank was always full. And we're called to do that as well. My friends, if we look at the odds, if we look at the percentages, there is a chance that we will lose someone close to us in this time. And we must know that not only will we be able to bear it, but we will be lifted up by people around us, seen and unseen, present and not present. And we will find ways to grieve. We will find ways to heal. We will find ways to lift each other up and allow ourselves to be lifted up. We will discover that that which we have denied in ourselves because we don't like it is coming to the surface, and we have the tools and the love and the strength within us to say, yes, this is me, and I'm letting this go so that something better can arise in me. That's what befriending our shadow is about. That's what we must do in this time of blaming and fear and ignorance and carelessness. There is also so much good that is greater than all of that. I'd like for us to take a few moments to pray, maybe a little longer than we usually do. And before we go into our meditation, I'd like to share with you a reading from Lynn Unger. This was sent to me by a friend of mine who is a nurse educator for the Ascension Seton Network in the Central Texas area. Her boss sent her several prayers to all of her staff so that they might know comfort in these days. This is called pandemic, and it sounds like it's going to be something scary to read. But the photo, the painting that is with this, shows a loaf of bread and candles. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands, reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love. For better or for worse, in sickness and in health. So long as we all shall live. Wherever you are, if you're comfortable with it now, breathe deeply into the depth of your soul. You may bring your hands together like this. You may bring your hands together like this. You may find yourself on your knees. You may find yourself opening to spirit. Whatever way is comfortable and meaningful for you, open yourself so that prayer might pray itself through you. And we're going to take our time, and we're going to breathe. We're going to receive. And in our receiving, we're also going to give. So all of you that would usually be in this room, all of you that are joining us from wherever you are, will you just acknowledge and welcome that our hearts are connected? That no matter the rhythm, we breathe the same breath. And it is breath that gives us life and gives us peace and gives us joy and courage and strength and compassion. So keep breathing. And now, put your hand out across the waters of life. To bless all of those who are dying. All of those who love them. Bless all of those who are sick or afraid of being sick, that there is a moment of peace. And do you see when we do this, then the differences in our language, our color, our religious faith, all fades away. We are just people. We are human beings. We're sharing this satellite that goes around the sun. And suddenly all our differences don't matter. Whoever is your master teacher, be it Jesus or the Buddha, or the great teachers of all faiths, the hand of compassion and healing that they extended is now up to us to extend. It's our job. We continue to expand that blessing in rings of compassion and empathy. We lend our strength to those health professionals that are laboring on the front lines. Knowing that God's hands are their hands. We know that the light of God surrounds them and the love of God enfolds them. The power of God protects them. The presence of God watches over them. And we extend our blessing to the researchers, the doctors, the administrators of healthcare, as they search for something that will make this situation better. And we extend our blessing to those who have lost their livelihood. To those who are in fear for the welfare of their families. And if we cannot affirm God's goodness and abundance for all people, who else will do that? See, beloved, there is plenty, and now we share it. We know it. We affirm it, and we act upon it. And so if you have tears in these days, let them fall like rain, natural and nurturing. If anxiety awakens you in the night, wrap yourself up in the comfort of God's peace. Light a candle and let it represent the light of God in your life and in the lives of all people. And now, more than ever, where we might have been complacent, let us be active and paying attention. Where we might have been unconscious, let us be awake. Where we might have taken for granted all those little things, let us now be thankful for everything. And it is good practice for us to find in ourselves that place that is silent and full and rich in the silence. So just for a moment, be totally still. And continue to breathe. Give thanks for a moment with your Creator. As near as this next breath, and as grand and magnificent as that which we cannot imagine. And if you will, hold all of humanity in your hands. And with the next exhale, let it be the kiss of peace. For all that has come before, for all that is now, and for all that will come to pass, we let our hearts remain grateful. We allow ourselves to be expanded by the love of God, so that we are more attuned to the places where we can fill a need. We're more attuned to those places where we can rise up and be our very best selves, the way we were created to be. And beloved, if you forget, draw close again to this place of silence and peace and power within you. And know that all is well. All is well. Despite any appearances, despite any conditions that we might label good or bad, in all of our joys and our sorrows, all is well. All is well. And now we let go of anything that troubles us. We let it go. We release it all to the transformative power of God's love. And we embrace the goodness that we are. The goodness that humanity is. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.